we're about to get into a serious topic, guys. So we're going to bring in, shortly, Oliver Platt from One Soccer. Because, I mean, it's touchy, it's heartbreaking. And that, of course, you know, it involves the families, Canadian, Iranian families, who have suffered greatly after, you know, the airplane was shot down in Iran in January of 2020, killing all 176 on board, 85 of them were Canadian. And as we know, recently, Canada Soccer announced a friendly against Iran to prepare themselves for the World Cup. They've qualified for the World Cup for the first time since 1986. It's a really, you know, big deal. And I know Ollie will take us through some stuff here, but, you know, just quickly to explain a timeline of things, Canada Soccer, and I know this speaking to them, booked this strictly from a sports perspective. That was a team that they could afford, because a lot of these big names, I know everyone's like, get this person, get that person. They cost millions. This was within their budget. And they also felt from a tactical perspective, this was a team that could prepare them for the World Cup. It's a team outside of CONCACAF. That's who they wanted to play. It's a team ranked 21st in the world as well. And it's a team who's going to the World Cup. So they felt that this was really good for them to be able to prepare. And then, of course, you know, the families, the victims of this horrendous act, then spoke out and said, we don't like this. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, was asked about it. And he said, this is something that Canada Soccer has to answer for. And hence we go from there. The pressure was on. Canada Soccer has now canceled it. So let's bring in now Oliver Platt with One Soccer. I gave a little bit of a history there, Ollie. I guess first things first, though, are you a little bit surprised, though, that Canada Soccer did in fact cancel this? Or do you think this was really, given all the information coming out, their only option to do so?
I was surprised initially, yeah. Just because I think everything we'd heard over the past few days suggested that, you know, just the negative consequences of cancelling this match at this point would be massive for Canada Soccer, and they are going to be significant, right? In terms of lost revenue, you're already seeing, you know, the Iranian Federation come out just this afternoon and say they're going to be claiming the damages in the millions of dollars. I don't know how legitimate that case really is, but that's the situation they're now going to have to handle. And then on the sporting side of it as well, obviously, you know, losing a game that is now going to be very, very difficult to replace at short notice, certainly with an opponent of a similar caliber. And this is only one of five games that Canada has left on its schedule before playing at the World Cup in the winter. So it's very damaging from a team's point of view as well. So all of those reasons made it seem as if, you know, they would try to get this game to go ahead, try to manage the situation as best they could and play the match. But I think we've seen, you know, it's just continued to build and build and build, right? Some of the things we've seen over the past few days in terms of, you know, the money that it came out, they were paying the Iranian Federation. Some of the links between figures in the Iranian Federation and members of the part of the military that was directly responsible for the plane shooting a couple of years ago. Just a lot of things that really compromised Canada Soccer wanting to, you know, clearly be in any way involved in this kind of match and this kind of arrangement.
So you mentioned that there's only five possibilities of getting in a match before the World Cup starts. What is there, some kind of makeshift backup plan so they can do something, or what is the plan going ahead?
I don't think there is, to be honest with you. I think they're trying to figure that out now. They have two matches against CONCACAF opponents and kind of weaker CONCACAF opponents than they probably like to be playing, but they're matches they have to play, so that's two of the five. And then they've got two slots in September where they'll try to play European teams and strong European teams to prepare for Belgium and Croatia at the World Cup. So this is the fifth slot, and obviously the first game of those five they were going to play. They wanted to play a team from outside of their region, like Andy mentioned, just because they haven't been able to do that throughout the pandemic. Finding a team of any kind of decent standard from somewhere else in the world on the notice that they've got now, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, everyone's booked up, right? Everyone's got their own opponents, their own competitions to play in. So they're going to have to get creative here. Maybe they can find another national team that's of decent standing to try and get a friendly in that way, or maybe they have to do something really creative and try and play a club team, you know, an MLS team or something like that, which would be extremely unusual, but that's the kind of position they might find themselves in now.
Yeah, there's a lot of mixed reaction to this. I mean, obviously, the families, you know, who are affected, the 85 Canadians who were murdered, they're very loud. They have a lot of support. But there is another group, obviously, that, you know, wants sport to remain sport. They don't want athletes to have to suffer for things that their governments do. We've heard the term sport washing before. So there's, this is not easy. This is not an easy topic. And I know, Ollie, you know, when you and I were discussing it earlier, the word we all kind of came up with was it's sad. It's just sad all around. From both sides, you know, and it's just, it's very heartbreaking that, you know, we're in this type of situation. But it also brings up the bigger kind of existential question where, you know, is this going to go away? I mean, oh, we've even seen it now with the IIHF, but that's the big governing body who decided on their own for the World Championship and for the World Juniors that's been rescheduled for the summer that Russia and Belarus are not going to be playing because that's, you know, a country that's invading another one that's really affected the globe. I know this Canada-Iran thing is directly related to those two countries. But Ollie, Canada Soccer did come out with another press release. And in it, it said, we will be conducting a thorough review of our processes for the hosting of international matches to ensure no stone is left unturned in our pursuit of excellence, both on and off the pitch, including consultation with all stakeholders. We're committed to creating respectful and inclusive environments for teams, players, and fans. And I'd pose this question to you, where are we at that stage where sports governing bodies, do they need political advisors now?
Yeah, I think quite possibly. It's a massive lesson for Canada Soccer, and they're going to have to learn it very quickly because you look at the things that are stacking up ahead of them over the next few years. Firstly, Canada's going to a World Cup in a very controversial place in Qatar this winter. That's going to be something that they're going to handle. There will be questions asked about the situation in that country that they're going to have to be ready to respond to. And then in 2026, Canada is co-hosting a World Cup, and chances are Iran might qualify. Another country that, you know, we may not have great relations with or may not agree with on a lot of things may qualify and be coming to Canada to play games. So that's something that they're going to have to be, you know, prepared to handle. I do think this situation was a little bit different in the sense that, you know, Canada, if they want to play in the World Cup, which obviously they do, they have to go to Qatar. If they want to co-host the World Cup, they have to allow in all the countries that qualify through that process. I think the critics of this decision would say they didn't have to play Iran, right? That was a choice that they made when they could have found a different team to play. Now we know that there were, like you said, real sporting reasons for the choice of Iran, and it didn't go any further than that. They chose them because they thought they were the best opponent available when all the kind of circumstances were considered. But ultimately, that was a choice they made, and obviously one that they're going to have to wear a lot of criticism for now.
Oliver Platt, analyst with One Soccer, joining us here on Overdrive. You just mentioned, you know, 2026, Canada, we know, already is hosting the World Cup. We also know that Canada is putting together a bid to host the 2030 Olympics. It is a massive feather in the cap. It is a coup to be able to get a massive sporting event to be hosted in your country. It still brings in a lot of dollars, the infrastructure that it helps to build. You know, it is a big deal to be able to host. Do you think this is an isolated incident and people understand that, given that this is something that just happened 2 years ago, the wounds are very fresh? Or do you think there is some concern, of like FIFA, the IOC, saying, well, wait a second, if Canada does this, should they even be considered a host in the future? Because are they going to just start banning countries from coming into their country?
Yeah, it's another big question. It's something in the past that, you know, FIFA is very strong on the idea that government should not interfere with the federations and their decision making in any way. They have punished countries in the past for doing that. Whether that will be the case here, I don't know. Obviously, Canada has quite a bit of influence at FIFA, with one of the vice presidents being Canadian in Victor Montagliani. So maybe this is a situation that they can kind of manage. But it's definitely something, that is going to be difficult going forwards. And we're seeing this all around the world now, right? In terms of soccer, the intertwining of soccer and politics is becoming more and more difficult to avoid than ever before, as it is in many sports. We've seen it with the Ukraine situation, with, you know, Russian owners like the one at Chelsea essentially being forced out of the club because of their links to the Russian state. I think a lot of these governing bodies, whether it be FIFA, whether it be the IOC, they've become more and more intertwined with, you know, big money in parts of the world where sometimes there are real problems, there are real human rights issues, and eventually that was always going to come back to catch up with us, right? And I think that is starting to happen undoubtedly in soccer right now. So it's becoming such a difficult thing to navigate, and like you said, is going to be something that, you know, organizations like Canada Soccer are going to have to think very hard about and much more about than they have in the past.
So obviously it's disappointing, again, from a sporting perspective. You know, Canada loses a game there, but they do have the other two with Nations CONCACAF League taking on Curacao and taking on Honduras as well in that June window before, again, they have another FIFA window in September. What do you think John Herdman is really going to try and hope to get from his team here? Do you think certain, you know, there's already a lock for about, you know, I think a couple people think already 15, 16 players are a lock. I just wonder where you think some of the decisions need to be made with that roster.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be very many, to be honest with you. I think that's about right, that, you know, you've got to remember this team has been together for quite a while now, over a couple of years, in terms of the amount of international matches they've played, the windows they've had together. When you played 14 games in that final round of qualifying, it's a lot, right? It's a lot of training sessions. It's a lot of time spent together, a lot of chemistry built. And I just don't think the way John Herdman has handled the team so far gives any suggestion that he's going to disrupt that in a big way before they actually go to the World Cup and play in the biggest games of their lives, right? I think he manages this quite a lot like a club team, really, where he does like to keep a consistent group of players together. Doesn't really, you know, he's not one to bring in new players easily. I think he has to be really convinced that they're going to add something to the group. So I'm sure there'll be two or three that managed to work their way in there that maybe had injuries or whatever the case may be over the past few months. But by and large, you can see from the squad he selected for these games that he's going to go with the guys who have got them there. And I think most people would say that's rightly so.
All right. Well, Oliver, appreciate you taking the time. And I know this is obviously a story we'll continue to follow, as we'll probably hear some more coming out of it. But again, Canada does still have two big games to prepare for in June. Ollie, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Oliver Platt, analyst with One Soccer. Yeah, it's tough. I think I just want to end on this, guys. I think it's just also worth noting. Again, like I said, it's all around a sad situation. But I don't think people are saying enough that Canada Soccer didn't just announce that they were playing Iran. They had to go through many levels of approval, from FIFA to Vancouver, to make sure Vancouver was okay with hosting, to the actual Canadian government. They got check marks across the board. They got approved across the board, hence why they made the announcement. Not trying to say Canada Soccer should be off the hook, because, again, I think sporting federations now need to be very aware of political climates now, whether, you know, people in the sports world like it or not.
But the question is, Andy, why would they go through all of that if they knew they were going to be met with this?
But that's the point. Wow. Oh, nobody at any point, from what I understand, people I've spoken to at Canada Soccer, nobody within the Canadian government at any point said, you might get some backlash, which is why they were completely floored.
That's what blows my mind. Nobody gave them a heads up saying you might run into this and save yourself from it. Why didn't someone do that?
Well, and on top of that, I read a piece today, Andy, about it. Like Trudeau weighed in. Like, where was that? Like, you know, if it worked its way up, all of a sudden, like, you know, like you saying, they checked off all the boxes as far as getting approval, all of that. Like, they didn't just show up and say, hey, you know, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you get a sense, and maybe that's what you're saying, it's become even more political as it gained more traction, mm-hmm. type of thing?
100%. Because, well, here's the irony of it all. It's actually because of sport. It's because Canada Soccer booked this game that so many things have come to light with these Canadian-Iranian families and what they've been fighting for with the Canadian government, looking for justice against the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. We probably wouldn't have known any of this if it wasn't for actually this game being scheduled. So go figure that irony. Although I do believe Canada Soccer did the right thing in canceling it. But, yeah, I mean, nobody was really talking about this until the families themselves said, this is a slap in the face. This is a fresh wound. This just happened January 2020. And, by the way, we're still trying to deal with the Canadian government to get some sort of, you know, compensation and try to get any kind of justice for their families. So then Justin Trudeau was asked about it. And that's what set off the firestorm, because then he turned around and said, I don't think it was a good idea. You have to ask Canada Soccer about it. I mean, he kind of threw them under the rug there, which was a little under the bus, I should say. So that was a little unfortunate. But then everything else came out. There were multiple reports of the players themselves getting concerned for their own safety. And there's been reports of people knocking on the doors of Canada Soccer officials, putting pressure on them. That has to be scary. I mean, two wrongs don't make a right either. So there was a lot going on here. There was a lot at play. And listen, it doesn't help when a photo comes out that was just taken in April of the head of the Iranian Soccer Federation with a dude who's wanted by the FBI for plotting kidnappings, even on Canadian soil, by the way. So
yeah, that's not good.
It's just, it was all very, very ugly. But I can see Canada Soccer looked at this from a sporting perspective only. And I guess the big question is, can they do that? Can any sporting federation do that from now on? I mean, just a couple years ago, a big hockey tournament was moved from Belarus because of political tensions that were happening there. And then obviously the concern, you know, for safety of the athletes. It's happening more and more, guys.
It is.
Serious stuff. I feel like Wolf Blitzer right now.
It is very serious stuff. And I'll just, I mean, bring it back before we put a bow on this. Like, think of, you know, the war in Ukraine right now. And, you know, what the trickle-down effect is, you know, Russian players not being allowed to participate. I believe, you know, there was a couple hockey tournaments that were taken out of Russia, you know, based on that. I mean, you just mentioned sports and real world, there's a they cross over, and that's ultimately what's happened here, and you know, that's the world we live in.
Again, in some ways, the irony of it all, I was reminded of that January 2020 flight that was shot down, and I can't even imagine what those families are going through. So devastating. 85 Canadians killed. 85 Canadians, which is really, really sad. So I do think that at the end of the day, it's sad, but it was, you know, it was the right call, I think, to cancel that game. And now they'll continue their preparations. This is a strong team. So gotta have some faith. It's a strong team. And John Herdman, they're in good hands with him.